If you can find your seat, that would be great. But you got to listen even more now. I'm not done. All right. Everybody finds their seat. Everybody's sitting down. Everybody's happy. You've made some new friends. Okay, good. Now that we've done that, listen very, very carefully. Mike is having one of those Sundays where I'm a little bit disrupted right now and would like to disrupt you for a while. Here's what I would like to do. The looks are so serious. I'm going to give you a minute. I don't think it takes but 30 seconds, but in my graciousness, I'm going to give you a minute. I would like for, listen carefully, men too, I would like for the women, those of the female, the women, to get up out of their seat and come sit in the first couple of rows. I'd like the men to get up and get in the back. Okay. Go.
Back of the bus again.
Come on, ladies, all the way up front. All the way up front. Come on. There we go. I've got the men in the back, which makes me wonder if any of them are going to listen to this. All right. I've got the women in the front, which is what I wanted in the first place. So I never get to do this kind of stuff. I never get to just, oh, no, we're taking pictures, right? I never get the women up front. I used to speak at a women's conference every year with about 350 women. Nothing but pure women. The worship team was women. Everybody running everything was women. And they would have me in to speak for whatever reason, year after year after year. I had to move away to get out of that obligation, which worked out well. But I got to tell you, they were the most responsive. They laughed with you, unless they were just, you know, placating me, let the, you know, crazy bald man go. But they were just with me at every point. They were very responsive. They were fun to be with, and they got me reared up. So that was kind of neat. So ladies, I'm kind of setting the bar up a little high for you guys that you have to somehow meet what I've had in my previous experience. Gentlemen, this sermon is obviously for you, but I wanted to put the emphasis on women for this day. I guarantee almost nowhere are women going to be invited to the front to do this. So we're going to do this here this morning. Simple as that. You know, ladies, every year I watch one character, which Matt already started to discuss, and that is Mary, the mother of Christ. I watch one character in Scripture, Mary, who never gets highlighted, who never has anything said about her. We just kind of gloss over her. She's out for Christmas. Yeah, she's out of the attic. And then we put her on the lawn and we light her up. And then when it's all done, oh, like, you don't do this? Is this just my house? Okay. And then when it's all done, I don't even wrap her up. I just throw her into a box and throw her back in the hot attic for the rest of the year, which is where she is right now. And I don't even think twice about it. In fact, we have Christmas cards that we get, and who's in there? Mary. But we never say anything about it. Never say anything about her or the circumstances she was in or try to understand what was going on with her. A teenage, young teenage girl who had a mountain dropped on her and how she reacted to it. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to put Mary in her rightful place. Mary like David, Mary like Paul, Mary like so many other pivotal characters in the Scripture played a vital part, and listen to what I'm going to say here, a vital part of my and your spiritual heritage. You ever think of that? These folks, you think they were just dawdling around in the Old Testament. And you know what? They're part of my spiritual heritage. I get to marry. She has Jesus. She's the mother of Jesus. She's part of my spiritual heritage. Paul is part of my spiritual heritage. Peter is part of my spiritual heritage. What those folks did and what God did through them is what set me up now to enjoy the faith that I have. Have you ever put that all together like that? It's kind of fun to think that way. Now, we all know, ladies, we all know what happened, right? We know the story, don't we? Mary is what? Engaged to be married to a man. She's betrothed. I don't know how far you're going to throw her to betrothed, but she was engaged. And Jewish engagement was a lot different than our engagement. Our engagements here in our culture, we just pop in and out of them like water. Yeah, we're going steady. Oh, yeah, now we're engaged. Oh, no, we broke it off. Oh, now we're back to engaged. It wasn't that way. Just consider engagement almost a form of marriage without living together. This was as binding as could be, so much so that if the husband died before the marriage event actually took place, this betrothed or engaged woman would actually get his stuff. It was that kind of a thing. But we all know that this teenage girl was engaged to a man named who? Ladies? Joseph. We all know what he looks like, right? Slightly older guy. He's contracted to buy this wife, gets this wife, Mary. He's probably pretty excited. But on Mary's side, she's mega excited. You know why? Because finally, her guy has been identified. And finally, she's going to have that house. She's eventually going to have those kids. She's going to have that life that she always wanted and a home of her own. And she's excited. Everything is roses. Everybody is happy. It couldn't get any better than this. I am engaged to be married to Joseph, and Joseph, a successful businessman, going to take care of me. I can't wait for all this to happen. And the wrench in the whole situation is what? The wrench that it may be your situation. God is the wrench in it, because God had other plans. This is the original story, by the way, of make your plans, tell them to God, watch God laugh. Mary had, when she was growing up, thought of this day taking place. It had taken place to where she'd gotten engaged to Joseph. This was all very exciting. Those were the plans, and then God stepped in, and boom, plans went sideways. You know that, don't you? So an angel appears to her and tells her what? Ladies, just ladies, tells her what? You're going to have a baby, okay? That's good news, isn't it? Isn't that exciting news? Really, Sarah? A ticklish situation at best, isn't it? An angel appears to her and tells her that she's going to have a baby, right? And that this baby's going to be really special. And you got to admit, that's exciting news. Anytime a baby's going to be born, that's the neatest stuff. I mean, in our family, we called everybody. In my kids' family, when they were having kids, they called and told me before they told my wife. I'm just going to enjoy that moment again right now. Those are great days. I'm sorry. Point of the matter is this. It was always good news. It was always fun news to share that a baby was coming. The first grandchild was coming. The second grandchild was coming. The third and the fourth and the fifth and the sixth grandchild was coming. I could not wait for that to all happen. And it did, just like I thought. It's good stuff, except for the fact that this young teenage girl goes, oh my. Was it good news or bad news for her? On one hand, the angel's talking to you, you're going to be pregnant by God. On the other hand, she had to think back and go like this. Uh-oh. I've seen other girls in the area that got pregnant out of wedlock. I've seen other teenage girls in this situation. I've heard stories about other ones, how they were ostracized, not just the mom, but the baby too. I've heard horrible stories how their life is incredibly changed. And then she probably went like this. Joseph, I got to tell him. He knows he's not been with me. And I'm going to tell him it's a virgin birth? And come on, ladies, you've spun some tales, but this is ridiculous, all right? But here we go. Here we go. Truth of the matter, she's going to have to tell him. And how's he going to respond? You know what he's going to do? He's going to make this public. He's going to embarrass me. It's going to get me thrown out of here and thrown out of here, and my family's going to disown me, and it's going to be me, and I'm going to be pregnant. This is horrible. If she thinks of it in that way, where do we go from here? Here's where we go. I am amazed every time I look at it when I see Mary's response. If Mary had been 80 years old and had been a sage who had lived a lot of life like many of us and had been in many situations like many of us and had gotten all the wisdom of life like many of us, then I would have said, you know what? That is an incredible response out of an 82-year-old woman who's been around for a while and knows people. But that's not the story. The story is this. A young mid-teenage girl says some stuff that we're going to look at, which is just amazing as far as a reaction. I don't know how much talking we get to do with these folks in the next life, but there's a day coming when I'm going to meet some of these biggies in the faith, of which she is. And I'm going to walk into her and just go, how in the world did you do that? How in the world did you respond the way you did? And so this morning, I go to that scripture. So it's up on the board here. It will be in just a second. But I want you to see this girl who faced ridicule and punishment and scorn. I want you to see how she responds and what she says. So what I'm going to do is, you got your note sheet in front of you? Everybody got a note sheet? Okay, good. Everybody's got a note sheet? Something like a note sheet? Want a note sheet? Okay, good. We're working on it. Let's look at the scripture here if we can do that, okay? Let me go back. You got your scripture open? You need your Bible for this one. In Luke chapter 1, verse 38, Mary gets this whole thing. It even gets the plan. The plan is that the Holy Spirit, I'm in verse 35, the Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. She's told how it's going to happen. The Holy Spirit's going to do it. He's going to make you pregnant. And in verse 38, we have our first point here. She was willing. That's your first point. She was willing. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." Wow. She literally said, "I'm the Lord's servant." That word literally is slave maid. "I'm here at your disposal. May it be to me as you have said." But hold it, it's going to cost. Hold it, it's going to hurt. There's a chance that I could be ostracized. Life will never be the same. But this girl, teenage girl, got it. You know what she got? She got this, that you got to give up your dreams. Listen to me carefully. You got to give up your life. You've got to give it all to him as he sees fit. And that's what he demands out of you in relationship. He demands all that, and then he typically, in most of our lives, puts in other dreams and other visions and other things that he wants us to do, namely serving him and glorifying him. So, sounds like Romans 12, 1-2, doesn't it? Listen carefully. "Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer all of your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship." Paul picks up on the same theme. If you belong to Jesus Christ, then you don't own yourself. He owns you. And so deliberately give of yourself to him to use as he sees fit. You understand that? Really? I struggle with that. I really do. I don't know if I'm that good at that. I don't know how good you are at it. I like holding some back for me. Don't you? But here you go. Mary willingly gives of herself, her very self, no matter what the consequences are going to be, all of it for the purposes of God. And also, she starts to mirror right here what's been going on all through the scripture, that this type of attitude was required in walking with our God because he wants to use us and spend us as he pleases for his kingdom. And notice, this girl, untrained, unschooled in any of these kind of matters, not much life experience, she understood that the child of God must be totally surrendered so he can fully use them. Not like we have today, not like people who talk to me and they go like this, "Well, you know what? When I finish school, I'm really going to serve God. When I find, you're going to like this, when I find the right guy and I get married, I'm going to really serve God. When I get that job, I'm going to serve God. When I get that promotion, I'm going to serve God. Well, you know, when I finally have that baby, we're going to serve God." And I've heard people say over and over again, "I'm going to serve God when something happens. That's when I'm going to do it." But the scripture calls me out and basically says that I need to be totally surrendered now in the situation that I'm in. She could have said, "Oh, okay, God, you're going to make me pregnant without a man. Never heard of that before, but okay. And you know what? After the baby's born, then I'll serve you. Or when the baby's fully grown and leaves the house, then I'll serve you." But right here, she gives herself totally to what God's plan is. So on your note sheet, it says challenge there. And each point here has a challenge. And the challenge is simply this. Serving God starts with a willing heart totally given to him. Serving God starts with a willing heart totally given to him. And once you've done that, he takes over from there. It doesn't matter if you're 5, 15, 35, 55, 75, 85, 105. I think I've covered everybody, okay? Truth of the matter is God wants us fully committed to him. Second point, what you see is in verses 46 and 47. And Mary said, hey, we're going to sing this in a little bit. "My soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit rejoices in God, my Savior." Second point is this. She was worshipful. She was worshipful. Listen carefully to me. I don't know about you, but I've been in some tough situations, have you? Honestly, think back right now in your life. Have you been in a tough situation? Have you been in the pits? Have you been in a place that's just been so far down, you can't imagine that it could get any lower? And oh, then something does happen, and it does go a little bit lower. Now what? Now this is going to sound glib. This is going to sound fancy-free and inconsiderate. And I wouldn't say it to you if you were going through it, but I can say it to you now. You need to worship. You need to worship. But you don't understand. My spouse just died. You don't understand. My baby just died. You don't understand. The house had everything in it and everything's lost in the fire. You don't understand. I would never say it to you in the situation, but I'll say it to you now. You need to worship God. You need to go to that place and worship God right now. You need to call Him out as to who He is and how great He is, and you need to worship Him. Now, with all the potential harm in this situation, with all the potential of her taking care of a child in a society where she has no skills and no way to really make a living, she reacts and she says this, and look at the scripture in 46. My soul magnifies the Lord. My soul glorifies the Lord. We throw these terms around in church all the time, but you know what it really means? She was going to enlarge God. That's the best way I can look at it. She was going to enlarge God. Now, hold it. You can't make God any bigger than He is. I know that. But I'm going to make Him bigger from my perspective. I'm going to make Him bigger from my experience base. I'm going to make Him bigger as to how I look at things. I am going to enlarge God. I'm going to take part in enlarging God. I'm going to be glorifying Him. I'm going to be magnifying Him and letting people know just how great He is. And in so doing, my vision of Him will change. Verse 49. She correctly states that all the blessings come from the Lord. She claims, literally at this point in time, that God has done great things for her. Let me read for you in verse 49. Does this even really fit? For He who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is His name. You mean to tell me this news, which is a little bit unsettling, and what's going to happen? You mean to tell me that now you say that all the blessings come from the Lord, and that this thing is actually a blessing that's come from your hand? Yes, it is. How can she say it in light of the cost? Because she's understood from verse 45 that, and I'll read it to you, says this, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. It was out of this truth that she worshiped. Let me ask you this. When things are tough in your life, how do you worship? Or I should even say, do you worship? But let's say you do. How do you worship? What's the base that you go to? When all else has come down around you, what's the thing that makes you go to worship? What's the one thing that you stand on? And you know what? It's going to be the Lord, your relationship with Him, and the great things He has done, even though your life is coming down in pieces. It does not matter. You understand? The challenge here is very simple, that we need to take God at His word and realize, like Mary, that we have a God who is in total control. Total control of us and total control of the situations that we're in and the situations He's leading us into. And then if that's true, then the only response we can have is worship. We can call Him out and say, God, this is what You've done. You've been that fantastic, that wonderful, that loving. You have guided me. I'm in a tough situation, but You were here before me. Remember Old Testament concept, the God who goes before us, okay? You were there before I was there, and You led me into this for a purpose. Now glorify Yourself in this. And that's mature praying and thinking. Third point this morning. It comes in verse 48. In 48, she says this, for He, God, has looked on the humble estate of His servant. Third point. She was humble. She was truly humble. Obviously, she was humble in the material goods of the world. They didn't have much at all. But she was humble in her attitude. She knew the place that she had in God's program and giving Him glory. And I got to tell you this. This girl, this is me. This is East Coast me, and you're going to have to put up with this for just a moment, okay? This girl's got it made. Listen to me carefully. Can you imagine this happening today? We're talking books. We're talking magazine articles. We're talking talk shows. We're talking, she could put out an infomercial and learn more about this and about that. This is the cash cow that has come in. This girl has got a track with God that has never taken place before. She is on such a trajectory right now. It's unbelievable. And I'm not talking about the junk at the checkout counters you can buy. I'm talking genuine stuff. This girl is all set. She got her big break. Not only did she get her big break, but we're talking movies and films. People come from all over to interview her. This girl was going to be a somebody. But in true humility, she had that slave and servant mentality of, I'm here to serve God. I am the slave maid of God. And she wanted, above all else, to be used to matter, to count for the kingdom of God. You know what? I believe, I probably have to get a hold of the psychologists in my life to understand this a little bit. But I've run into some people who are really kind of neat. Have you run into some really great people? I mean, talent-wise. They get up and they can just sing like you wouldn't believe. I've hung out with some of these people. They're just some of the most talented speakers I've ever seen. Some of these people, some of the most talented singers I've ever seen. Some of these people, when they did drama, were just as believable as can be. And I'm like, these people are just talented. And they claim Christ and know Christ. But the other thing about some of these people is they let me know how wonderful they are. They let me know that they're fantastic. And maybe you've met somebody like this. They just let me know that they are the top of the food chain. And there is nobody higher. And you know what? When I take a step back and look at them, I go like this. They are at the top of the food chain. Look at them. Sorry, ladies, going to do this, okay? I'm thinking of two or three guys right now, but one in particular who is really, really good looking. Okay, I'm talking younger than me, full head of hair, really fantastic shape, all the things I'm not even close to yet, okay, good. I'm working at them though, all right? Smart, hold on, I'm not done. Smart, personality, out the ears. This guy's the whole ticket. I mean, I want to be around him, okay? Get any idea, have you ever met somebody like that? You've met people like that, haven't you? He's very good at the ministry that he does. He's fantastic at it. But you know what? Watch this. Here's the illustration that goes with it. The more he continues on and has some success, the more he continues on and has some success, the more he continues on, he can almost not get this thing in the door. You're laughing. But he thinks he's God's gift. And ladies, don't think you're above this, okay? Because I've run into some women I just thought were the whole ticket. By the way, that is my wife's not here. That is the one phrase that irates her. So I'm using it as much as I can today. Because if I say something about a woman on TV or a woman that I know, I go, oh, she's just the whole ticket. My wife goes, she is she? not comparing with you. Okay, I'm just saying she really stands out. And the more I explain it, the more trouble I get in. And so I'm getting it all out right now. But women, you've known women who've really taken with themselves, right? Who really think they've got it, and they let you know, and yet they believe in Christ. You know, I've come to find out, those people might get used some, but not as much as the humble person. Not as much as the person who knows that they're saved by grace, and really it's God that does what he does through them. And the truth of the matter is, you don't bring all to the table what you think you bring. And these people who I know who've done the most damage, I say, for the kingdom, are people who realize, forget about the looks and the personalities. I'm talking about the gifting. I'm talking about what they do. The ones who've had the most effect seem to be this other group of people who are humble and realize that when anything took place in them or around them or to them, it came from the God of the universe. That's God working in somebody, and that is male or female. Makes you almost think to yourself, am I humble enough to be used fully by the Lord? Which is a great question, and that's your challenge, by the way, that I might be humble so I can be used by God. Last point here is this. She saw the big picture. Verses 54 and 55, let me read this. Listen to this perspective from this teenage girl. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his offspring forever. She saw the big picture. Mary realized that what she did and how she reacted did affect things. And listen carefully to me. For the 100-year plan, here's the thing that's missing today in our lives. You don't want to know what it is? What we're thinking about right now, almost every one of us, as the sermon comes to an end here in a minute, is this. What am I going to eat? Oh, really? I'm not the only one? Yeah, okay. What am I going to eat? And then, hold it. What about tonight? What am I going to do tonight? What would be fun to do tonight? And then, hold it. This week, what am I going to eat? I'm going out Tuesday night for dinner. Great. And we tend to lay up our life like that, but short range. Because you know what? Put it a month out, and I don't know what I'm doing for dinner. Put it a couple weeks out, I don't know what I'm doing for dinner. And I don't know when I'm going to shopping, and I don't know when I'm going to hang out with this person or that person. I don't know any of that stuff, all right? But suppose you took the 100-year plan. Suppose you took the 100-year perspective on things. Now listen carefully. 100 years from now, how many of the people in this room will be here for morning service? 100 years from now, how many of you will be here for morning service? Huh? You'll be here. Okay. Rocky's having service for one. Okay, good. Listen carefully. Listen carefully. I want you to get this, okay? The truth of the matter, if I push the clock up 100 years from right now, there is a very good chance everyone in this room has passed away. Everybody get that? Hey, so we've all passed away. By then, except for me, I'll be preaching empty seats, but okay, you get the idea. Me and Rocky, okay, good, we're here for church. Listen carefully, though. 100 years from now, I'll be gone. You'll be gone. What really matters? What really is going to make a difference? 100 years from now. Well, you go, Mike, I'll be gone. It doesn't matter. Well, yes, it does. You've been given, hold it, children right now. You've been given a situation. You've been given friends. You've been given people that not just rub shoulders with, but maybe depend on you and vice versa in friendship. You've been given a work situation. You've been given a neighborhood situation. 100 years from now, what of that is going to matter? And what do you have to do in your life right now to make the 100-year plan work? Listen carefully. If you have a 100-year plan, which you should, and I think many of us do, which is honoring the Lord, being used by Him, magnifying and glorifying Him, having an effect where He's placed me. If you have a 100-year plan, that's called having a vision for how God wants to use you. You don't know the specifics, but you know the big generality, and that's this. I'm going to represent Him where He's put me, and I'm going to glorify Him. And the truth is, this young girl saw the big picture, which was the 100-year plan. And in fact, if you have the 100-year plan, listen carefully to me, then you see things from God's perspective. Does God have the 100-year plan? Oh, yeah. Does God have the 1,000-year plan? Oh, yeah. Have you ever thought as to why were you born right now on the earth at this particular point in time? Have you ever thought as to why are you sitting in Candlewood Church on a Mother's Day in 2016? Have you ever thought, why am I here right now? Why did I marry that person? Why did I have those kids? Why do I have this family? And could you take them back? I mean, and why do I have this family? What do you want me to do? God has the all-time vision in mind. Listen carefully. And in having that in mind, He knows exactly why He placed you here at this particular spot in this particular marriage, friendship, relationship, etc., to represent Him. Strategically placing you there. That is, when you have the 100-year plan, you start to have the vision which God has of seeing the big picture. And the big picture for God, whether you like it or not, is this. God is a glory hound. There, I said it, all right? In the purest sense of the word, if I do it, run away. God is about getting glory for Himself. God is about situations that He can get more glory for Himself. God is about being worshipped all the time. He asks you to worship Him, and then He demands that you worship Him. Our God demands your focal point and attention to worship Him and glorify Him and serve Him. And that's just it. And there's no but to that. That is just it. And the fact of the matter is this, that as God looks across the, listen to how big this is, as God looks across the whole annals of history, He has put you in your particular spot at this particular time to represent Him that He might work through you. That's dynamic stuff. Mary, as a teenage girl, gets that. And I called it the big picture of the 100-year plan, but actually in her case is a lot larger than that. And that's exactly where you and I have been placed as well. In fact, I'm going to ask you to bow your head right now with me, if you would. And as you're bowing your head, listen carefully. Our reaction to God must always be like Mary's when she said to God, "May it be to me as you have said." Listen carefully. I don't know what God's been teaching you recently. I don't know what God's been leading you to do recently. But I would pray that you have the attitude of Mary. May it be to me as you have said. And this is the starting point for being led by God. Ladies up in the front with your heads bowed, can you pray that prayer right now? May it be to me as you have said. Guys in the back, could you pray that way right now? Honestly pray to God and mean it. May it be to me as you have said. Basically indicating that I'm yours, whatever you want to do, however you want to do it. I am yours, that you might spend me as you see fit to glorify yourself, which is your ultimate big plan. And I just want to be part of that with you. May it be to me as you have said. And if you pray that way this morning, that is the starting point to being led by God from here forward and leaving His mark as He spends you. Father, I do thank you for Jesus Christ. And we do thank you for the phenomenal example of Mary. Father, how a young girl could stand up like this is just unbelievable. But Father, we do ask this morning that we, Candlewood Church, would also stand up just like that. May it be to us as you have said, Father, as we seek to be the kind of church that serves you no matter what. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.